Welcome to another episode of the Lisa Ann Experience, and I am here to take you on a little journey. And if you enjoy this journey, please subscribe so you don't miss another episode. Of course, you can also be a part of the show by sending in an email to my mailbag center, which is asklisaann@gmail.com. We love the emails. I have to completely brace myself to check them, but we're going to go through them at the end of the show. When I talk about the guest for this week, I must pluralize, and it is not just guests. It is guests that are ballers, amazing, and I learned something new about them. And they also podcast through SiriusXM, so you can go down the rabbit hole with me and listen to their podcast. Before that, it's time for us to do a little catching up. And Chris, I know you and the missus took a little trip to one of your favorite cities this weekend, which is Boston. How was it?
Boston's great. Every single time I go to Boston, I love it. Even if most things are closed and you can't really do anything, we couldn't go to bars. I would have loved to have gone to a bar on Sunday night to watch the Patriots with people. Unfortunately, couldn't do that. So we just went back to the Airbnb and watched it there. But Boston's the best. It's got a similar vibe to Melbourne, which is where I'm from. So I kind of feel at home when I'm there. Great sports town. The fact I'm a Celtics and Patriots fan obviously helps as well. But we had a ball, man. We had so much fun.
I'm so glad you did a little road trip, just gets you out. When we're working from home, we're all at home so much, but you did the right thing. You ate outside, you kept yourself safe.
Well,
it's because this craziness of everyone kind of acting like this still isn't happening. And I saw this great article over the weekend about a news ad that Germany put together, and you are going to love this.
Okay.
I found it on the New York Post, and then I went down and watched the video. Germany is celebrating couch potatoes. Here's a quote from a young kid. It says, "I just turned 22, was studying engineering when the second wave hit," the narrator says. "At this age, you want to party, study, and get to know people and go for drinks with friends, yet fate had different plans for us." It then says, "Suddenly, the fate of this country was in our hands. So we mustered all of our courage and did what was expected of us. The only right thing. We did absolutely nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. Being lazy as raccoons, laughing on his couch. They are celebrating. They are calling the couch potatoes the real heroes in Germany because they have already masterfully flattened their second curve," which is just incredible. I understand that other countries do not have the population that the United States has, but when you look at the United States, you see that other states, plot twist, friends of mine went to Miami. They went to Tootsie's strip club. And yes, there's still sex in the champagne room during COVID. And I'm losing my mind. Like, I thought strip clubs were dirty before COVID, okay? And now after COVID, the fact that people are still going, but I just thought that was really cute. I love the Germans. I have quite a few friends in Germany and they have a great sense of humor. Don't you agree?
Oh yeah. I love the Germans as well. We're actually supposed to be in Germany a couple of months ago. One of my best mates was getting married to a German girl and we were supposed to head there a couple of months ago. Unfortunately, couldn't do it. It's getting pushed back to next year. Still don't know if we're going to be able to do it next year, to be honest with you. But I do love Germany, and that's a great campaign. Early on, though, in COVID, that's what people were saying. They were saying, you know, back in the day, if you wanted to, you know, do what was best for the country, you had to go to war, you had to sacrifice your life. These days, all we have to do to be upright, to be the best citizens that we could possibly be, sit on your ass, watch sport, watch movies, whatever you need to do, just don't go outside. And if you do, maybe wear a mask. It's the easiest shit.
It's the easiest thing
to be a good citizen.
But I absolutely loved celebrating the couch potato as the hero. So if anyone listening decides they want to be a couch potato, no longer feel guilty about that. You do not have to feel guilty in COVID times for sitting around and doing nothing.
Yep.
So Thursday, Mac released the new iOS update, you know, Big Sur. And of course, me being the nerd that I am is already on every, reading every blogger's review. Now, I normally know better than to download new software within 24 hours of it coming out because everybody is at the server trying to download it. But you know what? On Friday night, I was doing a show on Mad Dog Late, 10:30 spot. So I was like, you know what? This is going to help me not get lazy. I'll stay in my office and I'll download this software. Took a couple of hours. It was a success. And what Mac did was brought back all the original Mac features. So the screensaver is the exact same screensaver that was on the very big first Mac that came out. When you turn it on, it has that same. Now, for those of you who are too young to remember, this may not spark the same joy. It may throw you off and look very outdated, but I loved it. That was my wild Friday night. And I do have one more thing to add. It is a wild discovery in 2020. Probably my most wild discovery. And this is like a three-part wild discovery. So I'm going to break it down. First and foremost, everyone listening, you need to know something. I have never in my life sent nude photos to anyone personally, okay? So I would always use a professional photo. If a guy's like, oh, send me a photo, I would just go into one of my photos I love that was like, you know, done well, lit perfectly, you know, everything, my makeup was done. I have never taken naughty photos and sent them to anyone. So I finally decided, you know what, it's time. It's time to turn the page and try something new. And I finally successfully took photos of me in my room with just natural light in the dark, you know, the lights coming in from outside, didn't have a ring light going, didn't really have my makeup done. But for some reason, I couldn't attach my head. So I took body shots with no head, but I feel this is progress.
It's something. It's absolutely something. Yes.
So there is a recipient that got these photos. And of course, the recipient was like, where's your head? And I'm like, okay, listen, it took me till 48 years old to send my first naughty photo in real life. So just let me ease into this. So this is number one, weird things happening in 2020 that are wild. Number two, I have finally found the porn that I like to watch. And this is mind-blowing because it's kind of like, you know, when you're in something, you don't necessarily, now it's weird. I'm in sports radio and I listen to sports radio all the time. But when you're in porn, you know everybody so well that you find you don't watch porn because you know everybody too well, right? And makes whether sense. You like or don't like them, it's like you have this personal thing and it just doesn't do it for you. But I'd been reading up on Mark Dorcel, and he's a producer in Europe. And what I love about it is because they have to dub in the English language, there's very little dialogue because it's a lot of work to make the girl speak in all these different languages and it look ridiculous, right? So I love that there's not a lot of dialogue. I also know a bit about Mark Dorcel from seeing his booths at events, and he really focuses on the natural girl. So he doesn't have as many girls. So it's harder and harder for him, of course, to find girls without tattoos or girls without implants. But he really does try to find the natural girl, which is so European. You're getting the girls from Czech. You're getting the girls from France. You're getting all these different shapes and faces and eyes and beautiful long hair that's real. So like I fell in. And so this takes to part 2B is for the first time in my life, I watched porn with a person. Right. So I actually watched porn with a boyfriend for the first time in my entire life because, again, the discovery of foreign porn. Now, I watched porn years ago in Vegas. My friends would have rent a hotel room. We'd just be totally wilding out. And we would do porn commentating. Now, we weren't watching it in a sexual way. We would actually say what we thought they were thinking. And if the person, you know, we'd do accents. And everybody had to take on a person. And then we would turn the volume down, get music up. We'd be commentating. So it wasn't really watching porn. But so here it is. I've sent nude photos with no head. I have found porn. I've watched it with my boyfriend. And the real crazy discovery is, for the first time in 24 years. I mean, 24 years it's been since I used the word boyfriend. This is since I had my first boyfriend and then he was my husband. And since then, I've been like hanging out or dating. But my boyfriend, which still I'm shook every time I say it. I try not to say it too many times in a day. I said it the other day and I was just like beside myself, like I'm really saying boyfriend. But, you know, I've truly been in love with him since we met in 2010. We've kept a simplistic situation because at the time being in the business for me, I wasn't really ready to take on this whole. But now the talk has happened and we're exclusive with each other and we're like serious. And it's really a bizarre experience. So if there is anything weird about 2020 to me, the thing that's going to go in my journal, dear 2020, that is going to be the weirdest is the fact that I am using the term boyfriend.
And I like you use the term boyfriend rather than partner as well.
Yes, yes, yes. So he kind of complained because he's like, well, I'm not really a boy. And I'm like, well, man friend doesn't man make friend. Sense. You know, like, am I supposed to call you my man friend? I'm like, that kind of sounds creepy. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I get that. So some amazing discoveries have come into my world. And I thought that would just shock and awe everyone. Now, here's the problem. This is not going to change the emails because I figured out these emails are not coming from people that are listening to my podcast who are asking me on dates. So, but for those of you out there who are wondering, yes, I am in a relationship and I'm very happy. And
it's official.
It is official. And I've used the word boyfriend with my friends and they are like freaking out. They're like, do you need a medical check? Do you need us to come and rescue you? Are you okay? And I'm like, some of my friends who've only known me maybe 10 or 15 years have never heard me say I have a boyfriend before.
Yeah. And obviously I've known you a lot less than 10 or 15 years. But even when you mentioned it to me before we recorded today, I kind of,
you're jolted,
it was a bit strange for me. I can only imagine what they're feeling.
My friends are totally tripping out.
Yeah.
And now our guests are going to trip out because we have two of the best podcast guests under the sun. They are professional baseball players. They met at 17. They play together for the Houston Astros. And the most important thing that we're talking about today is their podcast on SiriusXM. It's also available wherever you listen to podcasts. The podcast is The Walkout. The guests are, that's right, Lance McCullers Jr. and Carlos Correa. How are you two today?
No, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having us.
Carlos?
I'm doing great also. Doing great, doing great. Excited to talk about MMA. Any chance I get to talk about MMA, I'm in.
Okay, so here is what I've learned about you two. Everyone knows about the phenomenon that you both are. You started playing baseball. You met your first time when you were 17 years old. You were drafted together to play for the Astros. And the one glue, the glue that joins you together is UFC. And I have to tell you that I was never into UFC until Fight Island. And it's because I was so desperate for sports and I was willing to go in and I started to study everything from the techniques to the coaches to the everything. But more than anything, it was peak COVID and I wanted to see dudes bleeding on each other and getting tested and not having COVID. So this is where I'm at. But I will tell you, you take it a step further, you listen to the Walkout podcast, and my absolute falling in love has turned into an obsession. You guys are amazing. How did you two fall so deep into this sport?
Well, you're right. Carlos and I met, about 10 years ago now. And we did. Our common ground was UFC, was boxing and combat sports. So I think the more we kind of to understand each other and how much we both loved UFC and combat sports, I think our bond started gradually growing from there. And it went from two guys who were playing on the same team and had similar interests to, you know, Carlos is as close as a brother to me now. And a lot of it has to do with, with our love for the UFC.
And Carlos, I do understand that you win more of the betting than Lance does so far in this
lately.
Situation.
Come on.
You're up like two, Lance. Okay, you're up like two. But Carlos, your history goes back before UFC. You grew up, of course, watching a ton of boxing. Who were your favorite fighters growing up? And then how did that translate? I mean, you had talked about your favorite fighters that got you into early UFC, early 2000s. But what boxers did you grow up watching and how did you fall in love with boxing?
Yeah, Felix Tito Trinidad, boxer from Puerto Rico, was the one that got me into boxing. The whole family, the whole little town that I grew up in will get together to watch his fights. And, you know, the adrenaline and everybody yelling after every one of his knockouts. I fell in love with the sport. Then Mayweather came in and, you know, I was, you know, back then he was pretty boy. He was not Money May. Fell in love with him. And then when I signed with the Astros, I met Lance. He had a Mustang. I didn't have a car. He offered me a ride. I started riding with him to the ballpark, back to the hotel. You know, we form a bond. And at that time, we figure out how much we both love combat sports. And ever since then, we've been watching fights together every Saturday.
And Lance, the way you two break down a fight, I imagine, you know, your skill set, you know, understanding the sport, understanding your competitors, it really shows when you two break down what you see in matchups, as well as you've taught me a lot in your podcast about coaching. For you, Lance, how does this kind of translate into your studies of baseball as a young man, now translating into this passion to UFC, and how do you break it down that you see it and how you see these matchups?
Yeah, well, it's a constant struggle to make sure I'm studying as much of my baseball stuff as I do of the USC stuff, especially this year with the podcast. We actually did a couple episodes on the morning where I was going to pitch. I pitched great those days, so maybe we found a secret sauce there. But I just love it. I love, you know, watching fights. Carlos and I are actually in a group text with Orlando's Magic player Mark Capardo Williams, and we go back and forth all day long about fighting techniques and coaching, and so it's just become kind of part of what we do. But there's nothing better than having these big fights that we're anticipating. You've obviously seen so many of them now through the pandemic, and we are weeks on weeks watching these guys' old fights, their entire fight catalog. We're watching, trying to find what we could find. That's why my Jan Błachowicz call, you know, my Jan Błachowicz versus Reyes, that's where I found it. So Carlos does have a better overall record though.
Yes, we know that from listening to the podcast. Now, for me, the first bit of trauma came the very first time I heard a broadcaster use the term leaking. Okay, so understanding that I'm a girl that doesn't watch anything violent, no movies with blood, no nothing. Unless it's like a mob movie, then it makes sense. Or if it's like Power and it's 50 Cent, it makes sense. This leaking, this blood. And now if I don't see leaking, I'm like, man, these were lame fights. And one of the things you taught me in listening is you truly prefer the octagon at the apex over the preference on Fight Island. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, the apex, you know, is so much smaller than the regular octagon. And, you know, every card that we see at the apex is amazing. It don't matter how big the names are, how small the names are. When you are at the apex, you're going to see blood. You're going to see violent fights. And just because the octagon is so small, you know, one shuffle and your back is against the cage. And if your opponent is on top of you, he's just going to smash you. So I think the smaller octagon makes up for great fights. And, you know, we love every time they're at the apex.
Do you also think that being on Fight Island, the timing was very different? Because, of course, I got into it and I put Abu Dhabi in my world clock. And I was like, holy shit, these guys are getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning to be ready to prepare for a fight at 3. You can only do so much with your body clock. You guys do it when you're traveling, you know, across country and you feel it, right? Do you think that affected the fights and made them not as intense as they are in the apex?
Well, I think a lot goes into it. You know, Figueiredo, a lot of these guys are cutting weight in their hotel rooms. They don't have their same crews. They don't have the same techniques. I mean, guys are cutting weight in bathtubs when they're used to saunas, and their abilities to work out and refuel through the process is I think hindered a little bit. Yeah. In Abu Dhabi. But you saw the Khabib fight versus Gaethje. They had it at 1 o'clock here in the States, which was much more normal. You know, for that side of the world. But I just think that the cage size is really the biggest difference. I mean, these guys go in these cages, they're animals, they're wild animals in there, and they feel like they're back into a corner. Plus this is the time you've seen so many guys kind of, rise to fame throughout this COVID UFC run because of the way they're fighting. So I think everybody wants a piece of that.
Yeah, there's also been some fighters who have stepped up in a very short time frame over testing situations, which I've found fascinating. The ability to cut weight, the ability to be focused. But you're right, they're traveling with a smaller crew. They don't have all of the amenities that they are used to. Now we've got, and Carlos, a common ground with us. I grew up in Easton, Pennsylvania. So Larry Holmes was huge in the boxing world when I was growing up. And I can remember being a kid, and when Larry Holmes would come home from a fight, he'd drive through my small town in a limo, and everybody in the city would go outside on the main street and wave to him as he drove by.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. You know, another thing I want to add about Abu Dhabi is that Abu Dhabi and the UFC, they have a great deal where Abu Dhabi is just paying so much money for the fights to be held there. And throughout the pandemic, every sport was paralyzed. And then, as I said, we got to find a way to make these fights happen. and they made it happen in Abu Dhabi. And all these fighters stepping in short notice, they know what they're up against. You know, if you lose, you got nothing to lose. If you lose, you're stepping in short notice. Now, if you win, you make a name for yourself. You can make big money. Like the Wolf, Hamza Chimaev, he was just there with a teammate in Abu Dhabi. Mick Maynard, the UFC matchmaker, offered him the fight. And he said, yeah, I'll step in. 3 days notice. He goes out there, he mauls the guy, fights 10 days later. So, you know, it's big opportunities for these guys, and they're taking advantage of every single one of them. So that's really good to watch all these fighters stepping up in short notice and putting up great performances.
Yeah, I've also found it fascinating of the amount of different cultures. I mean, the different countries that I'm researching where these fighters are coming from and how they're training, who does and doesn't want to get down to the mat. We've got a big one coming up in January that I know you're really excited for because, Carlos, I know you love Conor McGregor. Am I correct?
No, Lance loves Conor.
I know. I'm joking because you are not. But you said on the Walkout podcast, you said, I think when Conor McGregor really retires, I'll say nice things about him.
I will, because Lance said nice things about Habib when he retired.
I did. You know, from the heart.
I gotta say nice things about Conor. You know, Conor is a guy that, you know, we all fell in love with him. You know, he's the guy that made the UFC what it is today. Definitely, he's the guy that's made everything possible that's happening now in the UFC. So you gotta respect him for that.
Yeah, he's like what Ronda Rousey did for the female fighters. I mean, you know, she was dynamic, but what we saw she did, very similar to what Conor McGregor did. You know, she started to become more active in Hollywood. She wrote a book, and she wrote that book and released it before that last fight that she lost. And it was like, I read the book, I watched that fight because I wasn't even into UFC yet, but I supported Ronda Rousey. And I was like, okay, these chicks are kind of badass, even though I would not want to be caught in the dark with one of them because they'd beat my ass. But, you know, you need that consistency. And you had mentioned about Conor and the amount of things that he was involved in. Of course, you fall off a cliff a little bit, picking the right opponents. You talk about the importance of that, which is something that I never really considered. So, you know, your take, I know you guys are really hoping that there's a possibility that you could be there. This is supposed to be in January at Jerry's World in Texas, correct?
Well, that was Conor's hope. But if we learned anything from Uncle Dana and the UFC as of late, they're not really giving Conor what he wants. So we think the fight is not going to be here anymore. We're thinking that fight may go over to Abu Dhabi, like Carlos mentioned. You know, they've created such an amazing environment there for the UFC. They feel so safe over there. They've treated him so well. So I think it would only be right if they brought what's got to probably be the biggest card of 2021 in the first quarter there to, you know, Abu Dhabi. But, you know, Carlos is right. But in this fight game, don't forget, Conor came from welfare. You know, Conor came from he fought because he was trying to make a living for his family. So he had to, you know, take advantage of those opportunities. And although, you know, the Mystic Mac may have lost his way for a little while, he's back, baby.
And you also talk about, you know, Khabib and retiring. One more fight is the absolute number that he wanted to go initially. You think he's going to come back?
Oh, absolutely. He has not stripped Khabib of his lightweight title. That means he's certain that he'll come back for sure in October when he's used to fighting after Ramadan. You know, he stripped Cejudo the week that he retired. I think a couple of days after he announced that he was going to retire, he got stripped. John Jones announced he retired, he got stripped. So if he's not stripping Khabib and he's holding down the lightweight division, who's the best, they're the best division in the UFC right now, it's because Khabib's going to come back, and he's a big draw. So I think he's hoping for that Conor win against Poirier and then made that Conor Khabib 2 in October.
Man, that would be awesome because by October, there's a much better chance that we'd be able to be there, right? And I get it. It is smarter. It's kind of a bubble like the NBA did when they're over in Abu Dhabi. There's a lot less risk. Absolutely everybody is being tested, and you only hear these fighters saying how well they're being treated. Everyone, you have to listen to the Walkout podcast. I have now listened to every episode. I subscribed. I'll be writing a review. But I'm going to say this. Your breakdown of John Jones going after the intruder that decided to break into his cars was like a highlight, and I was laughing out loud. That is something that, yeah, he trains the dog on Instagram. You see it. You see him with the guns. But let's face it, like Lance said, guy just stopped at a stop sign. He looked both ways. He saw the cars.
I think so.
That's what you think went down, Lance.
I think he was just rolling through wherever part of Arizona that was, and he happened to roll a bit of light, and he took a quick glance and said, "Those are some sick cars." And the lights were off in the crib, and he just wanted to see what was up.
I don't like the fact that John Jones leaves his cars unlocked. I mean, who does that?
Oh no! I mean, he's got a gate, but it's not very tall.
Yeah, it's not very tall.
The way he was running after that guy, it looked like he was preparing for that moment his entire life.
Sits there.
I mean, it looked like, you know, he saw the guy on the camera and he said, "Oh, my time to shine. Here we go." And he went after the guy.
All these guns and all this practice at the range. But, you know, you're right. You can't really chase after somebody. So talking about the future of UFC, and we've seen it continue, and the brilliance that is Dana White. You know, I've taken some time to really learn more about Dana White. And I was fascinated with the fact that he was really the first sport to get it together and provide us something. And people like myself who were just desperate for competition. If you love sports, you need to be a part of competition. It keeps you striving to do more, working out harder, you know, learning new things. What are the matchups that you two would love to see in 2021?
If you look at Dana White, he's already thinking ahead, you know. They're thinking of a 4 to 6 week lockdown starting in January. So he's saying, all right, before this happens, let me take these fights to Abu Dhabi. They're already planning to move to Abu Dhabi and move this great card. Why? Because this great card needs to happen. Conor is what's going to keep the UFC on the rise. If Conor beats Poirier by knockout, the UFC is just going to keep taking off. You know, the fans act like he was at 145. I mean, there is nothing better to watch in MMA than a Conor McGregor celebration after a knockout. It's just what he has to say on the press conferences, what he has to say on the post-fight interview, and we all need that. So that fight needs to happen, and I cannot wait.
Lance, who do you want to see match up in 2021?
Calvin Kattar versus Max Holloway. Mm. That's been announced. That's going to be an amazing fight with huge implications for the 145 division. Calvin Kattar, I'm a huge fan of him. So is Michael Carter-Williams. That's his boy. You have Usman versus Gilbert Burns. They're still need to fight. But I need to see John Jones versus some big-time heavyweights. If John Jones really going to jump up there to the heavyweight division and make some noise, I want to see it happen early in 2021. So hopefully we can get John Jones in the title fight picture. And if not, an Izzy and Jan Błachowicz, if it goes Izzy's way, we can get an Izzy-John 205 belt fight maybe toward the end of 2021. So there's so many things the UFC has opportunities to do, but Carlos is right. You know, if the Mystic Mac is doing his thing, that's what's best for business. And the UFC was skyrocketing right at the beginning of the pandemic. Like you said, Lisa, you became a huge fan of the UFC. And, you know, we don't want to see it taper off. We want to see them continue to rise. I think the Abu Dhabi partnership is massive for the UFC. So I'm very excited for 2021. I just can't wait for all these fights. Honestly, every single champion and every single top contender, Jorge Masvidal, Colby Covington, I mean, it goes on for days. They're all going to be in the mix in 2021.
Another thing that you both talk about in your podcast is the Contender Series, which I have not yet watched. But believe me, after how you speak about it and what I could learn about the future up-and-comers, I definitely know that I need to be watching this, right? So what do I need to know? What do I need to be looking for as I start to watch this series and plan for my future life of every Saturday night watching UFC when it's on?
The Contender Series, you know, you're looking at guys really hungry. You're looking at guys that they literally live in the gyms. They sleep in the gyms because they got no money. Okay. Same story with Conor. Same story with Hamzat, who's going to be a superstar in the UFC. These guys are hungry. And when they go to a Contender Series, they go for a contract. And they go out there and they give it all. They only have 50 minutes to showcase their skills and abilities and show that they're hungry enough to get a UFC contract. And, you know, when you got two guys competing to, you know, get that contract, I mean, the fights are always great.
And there's nothing for the guy that loses, right? You're getting a contract if you win, and then you're starting from scratch back at the gym, trying to pick up maybe a new coach, add some new moves to your arsenal, right?
No, you can't win and not get a contract. It's got to be impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are guys who've been signed off the spot. They'll be in the middle of the Contender Series, and they'll put some amazing knockouts together, and they'll get contracts. You also have the Ultimate Fighter coming back. I mean, the Ultimate Fighter, you know, you talk about legends walking around the UFC, Tony Ferguson, Bisping, Rose Namajunas. I mean, all of these people came through the Ultimate Fighter. So with the Contender Series, like Carlos said, the Ultimate Fighter, you're seeing the next wave of UFC greats at their most hungry, you know, at their most, I don't want to call it desperate, but at the time where they need to make it happen. So you get some amazing performances.
Can you imagine my first event of watching UFC at Fight Island? There was a fighter that got knocked out, and I had no idea that fighters get knocked out and then they bring them back and they stand right up and they take their loss. Meanwhile, I'm thinking the guy's dead. Your first time watching this with no instruction, I probably would have been better had I listened to your podcast beforehand and known what to expect, but I was just thirsting, man. It was on. I was like, I don't care what they charge me for this. I'm going all in and paying for every fight because amazing. But when I see how they get just the shit beat out of them, and then they 5 minutes later standing there doing their interview, talking about their family, how excited they're so collected. I mean, you as athletes have been in intense games where a second later there's a microphone in your face. How do you calm yourself to be able to use the right words?
Well, I'm glad that we don't get interviewed that quick. Because I think, you know, sometimes off the cuff, you would say things maybe you regret, but they do a great job. I mean, part of the MMA culture, part of the mixed martial arts culture is that underlying value of respect. It happens in almost every fight you see. I mean, look at this past fight with RDA and Felder. I mean, they went to war for 25 minutes. And then after, they immediately embraced each other, just because of the amount of respect they now have, probably even more respect after sharing that those kind of minutes in the octagon. You know, you love to see when guys do stand up though, because sometimes they don't stand up. Carlos and I were at UFC last year, Masvidal versus Diaz. We saw some pretty brutal knockouts, and I'm not going to mention the names, but sometimes these guys don't get up, and it's scary for a while. But you love to see when these guys have these types of amazing fights, and then they show the respect and everyone walks away, you know, good to go.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, in normal situations, they have a lot longer before fights. But because of Fight Island, they've had the opportunity to earn more money, so they've been fighting more often. How long does it take for them to kind of calm their body down from all the bruising? I mean, just the leg kicks. Like, I watch the leg kicks and I just stare at the welt starting to happen, and I see what they're doing by going in on that same spot. You're really breaking down the fighter and you're really giving him something that just is on his mind, right? You're triggering the brain to understand there's pain, and that distracts you from everything you're doing. It could throw you off like a little step. The inflammation, the just beatings, the swelling, how long downtime do they take till they start to prepare for their next fight?
Well, to put it in perspective, how deadly leg kicks are for you and for your future, because you want to fight as soon as possible. Anthony Smith fought Glover. He lost two rounds, 10-8. He lost four or five of his teeth, and he came back and fought like 2 months later. Now, in the second fight, he fought Rakic, and Rakic was just leg kicking him every single second. It was just deadly leg kicks. After that fight, he doesn't have any more fights announced because he needs so much time to recover after those leg kicks. He was getting knocked down with leg kicks. He was getting chopped. And, you know, people see the leg kicks and they're like, like, why are you leg kicking this guy? They hurt.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They take a toll on your body and you're limping for weeks. So it takes more time when it's a leg. You know, when you get knocked out cold, maybe mentally you need a time to recover because, you know, every time they graze you, you remember that time. But with the leg kicks, man, they're so brutal that you're limping for weeks. And it's just hard to get back into training camp when you're limping.
Well, yeah, because you can easily have a bone bruise, which then can then cause to the internal swelling, which they worry about with blood clots. We see this a lot in the NFL. But, man, I stare at those bruises because I know if something welts that big that fast, that you're going to feel that for a while, and it's going to create a lot of pain. Your pain receptors are constantly trying to heal in this situation. But how about your favorite female fighters in the sport of UFC? Who do you two really like to watch?
Oh. Rose Namajunas.
I loved her. Love her.
Lauren Murphy. She's from H-Town. Pros got to meet her the other day at the gym. Honestly, like fight of the year, and both of our opinions, I'll speak for Carlos on this, I think, was Wei Li earlier when we were in spring training. She fought
Joanna,
and it was just the most amazing back and forth for five rounds. Wei Li versus Andrade was an amazing fight. That's one of our favorite fighters on the podcast.
You love Mackenzie Dern.
Mackenzie Dern, loved her jiu-jitsu. She fought last time, maybe one or two fights ago. She was 4 months after delivering a baby.
Wow.
So the amount of respect and the amount of joy that we have following these female fighters, especially on the podcast, is awesome. And I think Wei Li versus Rose, that was actually one of my, we had a scenario a month or two back where we ran through like dream fights or a dream card, and Rose Namajunas versus Wei Li was on there because, you know, they're just some of the best fighters in the game, period.
Yeah, their level of dedication and commitment, like just their focus, you can tell they are constantly thinking like one step ahead. And really, it's fascinating to watch. And again, their poise. And you're right. One of the things I've noticed about UFC that I've really loved is the mutual respect the fighters have for each other, how they can just pummel each other and then give each other a hug and congratulate each other. It's, you know, it's a little smack talking at weigh-in, which I enjoy. We all enjoyed that from boxing. That's
the build-up.
Yeah, that's the build-up, right? That. But that's not real at all. It's almost like wrestling. I mean, these guys admire, these women, they admire each other, and they really give it their all. I have been just really enjoying watching the fights this way because with no fans, I get to hear a lot more. So you guys need to tell me, how different am I going to feel when there's an audience again? Because right now I get to hear every leg kick. I know that 10-second countdown. I feel everything that's going on. And you can hear when they get into the corner with their team, you know, everything. A lot of it's in different languages. So you're trying to decipher what's he telling them to do? What's he telling them to do? I kind of gotten into my comfort bubble with no fans. What's it going to be like for me when I have to really be standing in front of my TV a little bit closer?
Well, we love it without fans also. And, you know, the fact that you can hear, like you said, every leg kick, every punch, the fighters talking trash in the octagon while they're exchanging punches, the coaches giving advice, them listening to Cormier and John Anik on the commentator's booth, like, and taking advice from them because of what they're telling us through the TV. It's great. But I think it's time for the fans to come back and appreciate so many of the great fights that we've been watching. You know, standing ovations after a great fight. Every time there's a big punch and everybody goes, oh, and all that, you know, it's amazing. So right now, I've enjoyed all this time without fans, but I think it's time to get the fans back in there and hear that roar once again.
After I started watching, some friends sent me links to some Bisbin fights that I needed to watch and some other fights. And I really realized how different the walkout is when there's fans there and the music is like totally epic. But they do a pretty good job at making this walkout as powerful as it can be with no one there. So that's you guys, the Walkout Podcast, which you can get everywhere you enjoy your podcast. Lance, Carlos, your baseball careers are, you know, first and foremost on everyone's minds. But if they just take a moment and listen to these podcasts, you would almost forget that you two play professional baseball and are incredibly competitive. So I have to ask you just a couple of questions about what this season was like for you and how you feel about the ramp up towards next season in this very unusual time.
You know, the season was good to play. You know, I don't think any of us wanted to, you know, have to wait this long. I mean, especially myself, I was already coming off of a major elbow surgery to where I was already hadn't played in about 20 months. So I was, really eager and itching to play, but the season was tough. It was difficult. There was a lot of restrictions. I mean, going on the road, we were kind of confined to our hotel room. So 12, 13, 14 days at a time, it's either the hotel room for, you know, all hours of the day or on the bus to the ballpark. But it was worth it. You know, we ended up having a really good season. There were some up and downs. But I think in general, baseball did a really good job with, you know, the difficulties we faced with COVID. But we're hoping that, you know, moving forward, maybe with the Pfizer vaccine, the good news on the horizon, we get some fans back in the ballpark. We get a full season. Because, you know, as you mentioned, it was cool for a time. That's kind of how I feel about the UFC with no fans. It was cool for a time. But I'm ready for the roars and the cheering again, because I actually go back and watch videos of people in the stands or stuff, and I'm kind of like taken back a little bit. It's so much different. So I'm eager to have that feeling again.
Carlos, how about you? How did you feel about this season and looking forward to next season?
This season was weird, that's for sure. You know, but we get to appreciate how we used to play baseball. You know. Not having to test every single day, having the fans there every single day, being able to show up to the ballpark a little bit earlier and get your routine in because you don't have a screening time that you have to show up for. But at the same time, we managed and we were able to have a great season, and we were one hit away from the World Series once again. And spending time with the guys in the clubhouse, you know, we have a great team, and the atmosphere in the clubhouse is so amazing. So just to get to spend time with them and be able to have those 60 games plus the playoffs was great. And we created, but we're never going to forget.
Well, as a fan, we were watching all jealous that you guys were getting to hang out and like be at work, even though I know living in a hotel and not doing other things is not fun. But we were just watching you going, oh my gosh, at least they're getting to do their thing. As athletes, you're so used to being around your crew. It's part of who you are from such a young age that it was just important for us to see you out there. And we look forward to seeing you out there again next season. Everybody, make sure you download, subscribe, review, and like the Walkout podcast, because my love for UFC just went so much deeper thanks to both of you. And thanks for joining me today here on the Lisa Ann Experience.
Thank you.
Means a lot. Absolutely. Thank you for having us. We can tell you're a hardcore, so it's appreciated.
So everyone, you know that I've started to watch UFC, and listening to the Walkout episodes, I went through every single one. You can do the same at SiriusXM or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like the UFC, you will love the UFC after you join Lance and Carlos for their podcast. So make sure you give them a listen. Now it is time for the wild ride that we call the mailbag. That's right. The Ask Lisa Ann segment of the show is here. And again, bringing Chris off the bench. He's a full-time starter now. We got some injuries. We are going to get this thing going. And I decided to come in hot with the first email I chose, Chris.
This one is one of my favorite emails we've ever gotten. don't know who it's from. That's in Arabic. So someone who speaks Arabic sent in, hello, honey. I am your boyfriend. Call me, please. I'm so missing you. I love you.
The reason I picked this one is because I just started using the word boyfriend, and this guy is not the guy I'm using it for. So I was jolted. I was like, does this guy know something I don't know? All of a sudden, I get my very first email that says, I am your boyfriend. I'm like, well, I have a boyfriend, but it's not you. Do you think maybe he was chatting with an imposter and built a fake relationship? He thinks I'm his girlfriend.
Just think he's living in his own mind. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, so we're not responding to him, and he's probably not listening. Idea. Okay.
Definitely not listening. Next one is from Jeff. Jeff simply asks, do you still do porn?
So I realized that scenes are out there and people don't know there's a timeline on them. The reason I retired and left is that I could always look the same age, of course. Who needs to age on camera? So part of me wants to tell people, yeah, I'm still making scenes all the time, so they think I still look like I did when I was younger. But in reality, no. I am no longer making movies, but you can still find an amazing amount of content on the internet. But for those of you out there, I am so thankful for everything that I was able to accomplish in the industry and the travel that I did and the people that I met. But now we're on to chapter 2, which is podcast sports radio for fantasy sports radio.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Next one is from Marco. And Marco has a lot of emojis in this email. Marco asks, do you love me? And do, by the way, is spelled D-U rather than the traditional
way.
Makes sense.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Do you love me? I love you so much. Are you back in porn industry or are you waiting 50? Thank you.
Like, this guy's got my birthday memorized and is doing the math, right? Why would
I? Year, 2 months, 13 days.
Is there a new 50s category in porn that I don't know about, that he knows about, that we don't know about? Well, anyway, Marco, thank you for all of your weird emojis. I do not love you. And no, I have retired and I am not coming back when I turn 50, because by then Chris and I are going to be balling so hard with this podcast that we're going to be looking, there's going to be no way to look back.
Love that. Next question is from Azuro. And Azuro, because I got to get that ball in the eyes as well.
We got to learn. Yeah.
Man, Carlos Correa and Azuro in the same podcast. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
Man, it shows how Australian I am. Hi, Lisa. How are you? My question is, what kind of films do you like, and which is your favorite sport?
I like this question. I'm going to be real honest with everybody. I love rom-coms. I just love the happy vibe of it all. I love that it wraps up. I mean, the other night I watched a J-Lo movie that I'd already seen like I'd never seen it before. And it was so satisfying. You know, you love movies. So, you know, sometimes you just want to sit, you watch two movies back to back. You just feel so relaxed, you know? So pretty simple, Azuro. I love rom-coms and my favorite sport is basketball, and nothing made me happier than knowing that we were going to get to watch actual NBA games on Christmas Day. There's nothing more I want for Christmas this year.
And the NBA draft this week as well. Are you going to get into that?
I am going to get into That's my favorite. We have to, right? Yeah.
I love it. Although this year, I think it's because, I don't really know the reason, but this year for the first time in many, many years, I guess I just didn't watch a lot of college. So a lot of these names who are supposed to go in the first round of the draft, I realize I just haven't watched a lot of. That's very rare.
Do you know what else it is?
College basketball.
We didn't have March Madness. And, you know, March Madness is such a showcase of like these standout players that go in like not even the first round, the third round. But yet these are difference makers later because they just play so well on that big stage at March Madness. So I feel like I do most of my draft study during the month of March.
Yeah.
And we didn't get that this year. And I bet you it's harder for scouts as well. I bet you it's harder for the NBA to really know what's coming because that big stage, those big games, that series, oh, there's nothing better than March Madness.
Agreed. And actually, just thinking back on it now, another reason could be because I actually finally got a full-time job, so I had to go to bed early and not stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Man, that is the downside with the East Coast, man. It really, on the West Coast, you don't know how good we had it. You wake up early, watch football, you can still watch a basketball game, you're still in bed by 10.
Yeah, it's much better. But anyway, next question is from Mark. And Mark says, hi, why do you not have an OnlyFans account? And would you ever date an English guy? If so, I'm free anytime. Kind regards. That's I don't know why he's got a question mark so after so I'm free anytime, but that's okay.
Mark, so you know I do have an OnlyFans account. You know, it's pretty funny. It's something I'm more proud of than ever is that I was so organized with content in my younger years of the business for all of these years. And I have massive amounts of hard drives and I use that content to repurpose it and put it up on OnlyFans. And what most people don't know is Sundays while we're watching the games, by the way, this week, I rolled out the Office TV, had the Masters going on one TV, had Red Zone on the other. But when I'm watching the games is when I usually try to get ahead like 3 or 4 days setting up my OnlyFans updates. So when it's commercials or when there's downtime, what have you, sometimes it takes the content time to load. So you're doing a lot of waiting, right? And I write these little blurbs. So there's little commentary I write. So there's like 50 posts for the day of photos, then the video goes up later. But like I do 4 days of it and I'm like my brain of just looking back at the moments of those scenes, remembering something funny that happened that day, remember who shot the photos. A lot of times it sparks something in me and I text somebody and say, hey, I was just looking through some of our photos. I hope you're well. Like it gives me this whole roll down memory lane.
That's nice.
And it allows me to really share some things that I had fun doing. So my OnlyFans account is the same as my Twitter and my Instagram is at @TheRealLisaAnn. But I'm so thankful for my fans and I try to go in trying to do it every evening right now where I answer 5 or 6 direct messages a night. It's just enough, right? I just go in, I put 20 minutes into it, chat with some people. There's some really nice people in there. So yes, I do. And dating the English guy, I'm not opposed. I'm glad to know you're free anytime. But I announced earlier in the podcast that I have a boyfriend.
Mark's
so now I get to use him as the blanket statement for everything, okay? It is fantastic being able to tell a guy, I have a boyfriend. Get off my back.
To be honest, Lisa, I don't think that's going to stop them, unfortunately.
You're probably right. They're not paying attention.
Absolutely not. Next question is from Bruce. And Bruce says, Lisa, I've been a football junkie all my life. I'd like to get started with some fantasy, but I'm overwhelmed. Where should someone start if they wanted to get into fantasy football? Thanks, Bruce G.
Bruce, I sure hope that you are a SiriusXM subscriber.
Better be.
Because if you are, you are going to go to the Fantasy Sports Network, which is Sirius 210 XM 87. You are talking about 24 hours a day of fantasy football content. When you find shows that you love, you hit that little star on the SiriusXM app. It lands in your favorites. I have the football diehards in there. I have Guru in the Morning. I pretty much have every show in there, but it just helps me because once you're on demand, you don't have to scroll around. You just hit your favorites. But I would not start playing fantasy football this season. And I would start playing fantasy football on a daily fantasy setup where you're playing the Thursday through Monday slate or the Sunday through Monday slate. And you just get an understanding of how the points work, how to set your lineup. This would not be a great year, Chris. Let's face it, with all these injuries, I mean, gosh, the game was almost over last night and there's a massive injury to Nick Foles.
Yep.
Massive. I mean, he looked like in so much pain. I felt his pain. Oh my gosh. So if I were you, I would just go to the Fantasy Sports Channel. You know, you could also do a little research online. There's a lot of great information out there, but the best hosts are all collected in one place for you at Fantasy Sports Radio. You could also follow them on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Radio, and they give out advice and they also help people set lineups on Sunday morning. So there you go, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. Next question is from Jay Tobur. Is that how you would say it? Jay Tobur?
Yeah, probably. I think
Let's
so.
Go with that. Hello, Lisa. Do you like playing any sports? Golf, skiing or tennis or anything like that? Big fan in Texas.
Man, this excited me because I was wondering, do you think even with social distancing and what's going on in the world, skiing is still going to be a thing? Because I love to ski.
I've never been skiing, but surely you can still ski. You just maybe you're going to have to be socially distant on the ski lift.
Sure.
Be careful.
You would
on
just
that.
Ride the lift alone, right?
Yeah.
You just ride. But think about it. When you're skiing, you're completely covered up.
Yeah.
You got a mask on. So I would say I love skiing. So that's a good one. I want to learn how to play golf and I plan in my 50s and moving forward in life, I am going to be golfing all the time. So this is exciting. Tennis is something I played when I was younger. And, you know, I think about it now during when things were really shut down, there were a lot of people in Central Park waiting to use the tennis courts. And if you think about social distancing, tennis is a great sport for it. You're still outside, you're competing with someone, but you're pretty far away. So love this question. And then last but not least for Jay Tobur, I have recently started playing basketball again because I have a court that I can work in. And
love
it's a
it.
Great, listen, what a great workout. When you forgot how it felt to dribble for 30 minutes and just kind of, because like, I got to get good before I start challenging myself with friends. So basketball is on there too. Chris, this wraps up the emails, but I wanted to read you the exchange, the lovely exchange that I continued with Khalil this week. If you remember, Khalil asked the question of how many times I have sex, and I told you. And the lovely listeners of the Leafs Fan Experience that I was going to email him back. And guess what? We now have 6 exchanges. So my first response was 117 times. Thanks for asking. He writes back, hello, 117 times in 7 days? I write back, yes, there are 7 days in a week. And you asked me how many times in 1 week. So yes, 117 times. How many you? He writes back, 3 times only in 1 week for me. You mean 117 times this week equals to 16 times a day. Oh, Lisa. I write back, a real man can have sex with me 16 times a day. If that's too much for you, then you're way out of my league. He writes back one last time, are you married?
That's a hard right turn. That is a hard right turn. Oh, Khalil.
I have to say, I feel bad engaging, but I've actually been excited when I go into the email account and there's a response.
Khalil would feel the same way. Absolutely.
So that ends the ridiculousness. Chris, thanks for coming off the bench and reading the questions.
No worries.
Everyone.
Just to confirm, just for clarification's sake, when you're 50, you will be golfing and not doing porn. So if anyone is unsure.
Yes.
That is what you'll be doing as soon as you hit 50.
Listen, I saw Condoleezza Rice at the Pro-Am, and she said she didn't start playing golf until she was 50, and now she's actually in tournaments. So she gave me a ton of hope. She's my new leading inspiration in the female golf circuit. She doesn't care to be great at it, but she gets to play in tournaments. She does a lot of charity tournaments. I mean, think about what you get to do with that. But what you are all going to do is you're going to go and support Lance and Carlos with their podcast. The Walkout, which you can get on SiriusXM or wherever you listen to podcasts. All you UFC fans out there, you are truly going to enjoy their passion and also hear two incredibly successful athletes, players in Major League Baseball, and to know that they're a fan of another sport and that they have so much passion for another sport and admiration for the fighters in UFC. I thought that was totally spectacular. When you're done subscribing there, you need to remind yourself to go subscribe to my podcast, The Lisa Ann Experience. I'm so thankful. Been seeing some great reviews. I'd love to see some more. Don't forget to rate the podcast as well. And feel free to be a part of the mailbag segment. That's right. AskLisaAnn@gmail.com. Chris, another great episode. Thanks to you.
We love it. We have fun over here. We've got so many interviews that we want to get to over the next, you know, month or so. This was one of the ones I've been looking forward to for a while. Ever since Lance and Carlos kind of came into the SiriusXM family, we wanted to, you know, promote their show and do a bit of cross promotion. So I'm glad we could finally do it.
And you're doing a great job producing their podcast, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for spending some time with me here on the Lisa Ann Experience.